Good morning, good people. It's good to see you for the first time this year, 2022. May God just really surprise you with his goodness for you specifically this year. 5, 6 of you agree. Hallelujah. God is good. My privilege once again to share the word of God with you. I encourage you to pray for me while you sit there and speak. There's an itchiness in my throat which decided to take up residence, but it's not going to be long. You know, before you go for a test, you study and you study and you study. And I studied hard and I still failed the COVID test. So, this is not COVID, I can relax, this is not COVID. But yeah. So, I've called this message the blessing of adversity. Just quickly, what is an adversity? An adversity is a difficult time or something that's bad. Now, how can something like that be a blessing? It doesn't sound right, but we're going to see this morning that there's blessing in adversity. I want to start off by saying that some of us have lessons to learn that we are only going to learn through adversity. There's lessons that some of us are only going to learn through adversity. It's not going to come through some anointed teaching. It's not going to come through some revelation of the word popping out of you. It's not going to come through some Christian meme that somebody sends you on one of the social media groups. You're only going to learn that lesson through the fire and the tribulation of adversity. Why that is, I don't know. The answer to that question is way above my pay grade. That's just the reality of life. And I think a lot of times we find ourselves in a place where we're praying for these adversities and these things to go over quickly, when all the while there's lessons that we need to learn only through adversity. Some of us have been coasting along easy street, expecting everything to go our way. And as we begin to face 2022, most folks are hoping that they never have a year like 2021 was again. It was tough and challenging and just lelik in so many ways. And people are hoping, just if 2022 can just not be like that, it will be okay. Well, folks, we don't know. I don't know what 2022 holds, but I do know the God who's already there. And, you know, I don't want to be like, Sufiel means to say, die jaar kom na beginne, hierdie jaar gaan die jaar wees. Daai jaar kom en gaan, en dan was het toe nie daai jaar nie. I don't want to say that. I also don't want to be a doom and a gloom kind of preacher expecting all hell to break loose. The truth of the matter is, I just don't know. But I know the God who's already there. So come what may, whether it is something that at the end of 22 I can say, you know what, Moz, that was a good year or that was a bad year. I don't care what kind of year it is. I know that the God of the Bible is already there, no matter what this year holds in store for us. And in meditating about what's going on in this country and all sorts of things, one of the thoughts that came to mind is this, that there are lessons that the Church of Jesus Christ are going to have to learn before there's a change in this nation. Listen carefully, folks. I know that with every fiber of my being. If you look at the history of God's people throughout the scriptures, many, many, many times he used ungodly, unrighteous, wicked, evil governments to teach his people certain lessons. There are lessons that the Church of Jesus Christ in South Africa are going to have to learn before there's a change in this nation. That's not the kind of preaching people throw money in at, but that's the reality of where we are at. So my question that I ask myself is, Lord, what must I learn, Lord? How must my heart change? Where is the areas of my life that can be more like Jesus? Before I want to pray things different in this nation, way before these lessons that I've learned. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says this about Jesus. And I've studied many commentaries on this. The Matthew Henry commentaries and Clark's commentaries and Dakes' commentaries and all sorts of commentaries. And you're not going to find much about this. I believe there's things about this verse in Scripture that the Holy Spirit will only reveal to us as and when he sees fit. fit. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 of Jesus, it says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Just pause there for a minute. So are we saying that there were areas in Jesus' life where he was disobedient? No. He was faultless in all he did. But the human aspect of who Jesus is, where the scripture says, this is my only begotten son. He became the begotten son in terms of his humanity. Though he was the son of God, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. My brother, my sister, what thing are you going through where you think this is just suffering? I just wish it would end. And perhaps there's an area of obedience that you've not yet learned. Think about that. If Jesus had to learn the obedience of humanity, being like us, and also being God, he's got a free will. I believe at any given time, Jesus could have decided not to do God's will. Jesus could have decided, you know what, Lord, these people, most of them don't want to hear what I have to say anyway. At the end of the day, once I've said what you've told me to say, they're going to take me, they're going to nail me to a cross. Why must I carry on being obedient to what you've called me to do, Lord? Lord, most of these people, they want to go ahead and just, they want to stick to religion and man-made rules and regulations, and they want to try and make things work their way. They want to hear what I have to say anyway, God, so I'm just going to bail out now. No. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. What kind of suffering did Jesus go through? Well, being subjected to the hands of man, being rejected by his own family, by his own closest friends. In his hour of greatest need, they bailed and left him alone. When he needed them most, those who swore blind allegiance to the death to him. That's what he had to learn. He had to learn and see, and he knew this, but to see, and we needed to see that Jesus saw the cruelness of humanity at its worst. How bad people can actually be. Folks, these are the kind of things that Jesus learned. He learned obedience to the things which he suffered, the things that were allowed to take place in his life. And aunts, what about us? What about things that God knows? He loves you, son, daughter of God. He loves you, and he knows there are certain things that you're going to have to go through for you to come out the other side more like Jesus. You see, it doesn't have to be like that. You can coast through and just get by doing the bare minimum, not having any change in your life, not growing, not maturing, not learning to love others, not getting to know God more, not coming to a deeper understanding of the scripture. You can get through life like that. You know, people say, you can't live without Jesus. You can. Billions are living without him right now. Am I speaking the truth? You can live without Jesus. You'll have an existence out there, but you'll never experience God's best for your life without Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. So you can live without Jesus. So you can coast through in Christianity and never change and never grow. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord 3 months or 30 years and you're still the same in terms of Christian maturity that you were 30 years ago. You still get upset at the same things. Jy's nog steeds offended oor dieselfde goed. You still don't tell anybody about Jesus. You still don't honor God with your finances, with your body, with your time. You still have not taken up the reins of any form of Christian service in any fellowship anywhere. You're just going on and on and on. And you know what? You'll probably make it to heaven. You probably will. But folks, there's so much of the abundant life that you'll be missing out on if you commit to a life of growth and maturity in the Lord. And as soon as any one of us get to a place in our lives where we say, God, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of same old, same old. I'm not settling for second, third, fourth best anymore. I want to grow, Lord. I want to grow. I want to be stretched. I want to be tested. I want to be true. I want to be proved. I want to be tested through fire. I want to be refined through the crucibles of life, the difficulties and the challenges. I want to learn obedience through the suffering that is due to me. The scripture says that all those who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So if you've made a decision, my brother, my sister, in your life, where you decide, I want to live godly in Christ, if you commit to the Lord growing you, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Everybody say, suffer, baby, suffer. And it's not like, oh, woe is me. And why is this worthwhile? Why is it even worth speaking about something like this? This is not actually like kind of good news. This is, you know, I want to hear the kind of preaching like, you're going to be blessed when you go in and when you go out. You're laying down and you're rising up. You're going to be blessed. There's going to be no room enough to contain it. You're going to be filled with joy. And it's just going to be, that's the kind of preaching I want to hear. I don't want to hear these parts about the suffering. But ladies and gentlemen, the scripture teaches that if I am to partake in the blessings of the resurrection power of Jesus, I'm also to partake in his suffering. I cannot have one without the other, because then I will just be incomplete. So if Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered, what about us? Psalm 34 and verse 19. The righteous, who? The who? Doesn't it say the ungodly and the heathen and the wicked? No. The righteous person faces many troubles. How many of you did not face any troubles in 21? That means you're the righteous. The righteous person faces many troubles. I wish it wasn't like that. Somehow in my early journey with the Lord, I thought, Lord, if I'm just the goody two shoes that I believe the Bible's calling me to be, if I just do everything right, Lord, then it's gonna be great, Lord. And then life happened. I realized it's not like that, son. You see, the closer you lean towards the things of the Lord, the more the devil's gonna come after you. Because the greater and greater threat you become to the kingdom of darkness. So the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Some folks believe that the righteous will never face any troubles because we're in right standing with God. This is simply not true. In fact, the more you become like Jesus, the greater threat you become to the devil. So expect that there'll be opposition to the godly fruit that's being produced in your life. Expect there'll be opposition to the godly fruit that is being produced in your life. When you start to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control, believe that the enemy is going to come and try and trip you up to convince you it's not worthwhile, to convince you to just don't even bother, just give up. Why try anyway? Look what's happening in your life. Where's God when you need him? Where's Christians when you need him? Where's the church when you need it? He's going to convince you of all of these lies. When the fruit starts to be evident in your life, expect it to come. And may we receive the blessing of adversity. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Sometimes I wander around like I'm just wandering around. You're just like, you're just dwelling. You got no direction. You got no sense of purpose. You're just like, but the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Every detail of their lives, though they stumble. Who stumbles? The Lord directs the steps of the who? Of the godly. So the godly stumble. The godly stumble, people. We stumble. We fall. We make mistakes. We get tired. We want to give up. We want to throw in the towel. We do wrong to each other. We do wrong to the lost. We do wrong to the Lord. We fall heavily on grace and rely on grace. So the godly stumble, we stumble. It says, though they stumble, they will never fall. Speaking about once you stumble, you stay down and you finish. Your race is done and dusted. It's over with you. God washes his hands of you. No, that's not what happens. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by his hand. And I thought about this. I thought about this analogy of a parent with a kid. And the parent is walking with a kid, and the toddler's all excited. And you know the toddler, the little legs are bandy, and sometimes they get so excited that they claim binkies, can me a baby. And then they start to stumble. And they're walking with mom or with dad, and things are cool. But when they stumble, suddenly dad becomes a superhero. And he reaches out in a nanosecond, and he grabs that child, and he catches the child. Like he moves. That father can be like really slow, like a real lethargic whatever. But little Johnny or whoever stumbles and dad reaches out and catches a child. You see dad move like dad's not used to moving. Think about God like that. You walk a walk with the Lord and you're used to the goodness of God. You're used to waking up in the morning and your heart is beating. You're used to being able to see the sun rise. You're used to being able to hear the birds chirp or the alarm clock go off. Or you're used to waking up and smelling your wife or your husband has brought you that first cup of coffee. You're used to the things of the Lord. And it's okay. And dan raak ons gewoon daaraan. God is God and life is life. And then we're just carrying on. And then you walk a walk, and the devil trips you up from behind, and you start to stumble. And suddenly God moves. God moves in your life, and you see an aspect of his power, and his deliverance, and his provision, and his attention to the detail in your life, because you're busy stumbling, and his son and his daughter is about to fall and get hurt, and God does the impossible and the supernatural in your life. And my brother, my sister, were it not for you busy stumbling, it just would have been same old. Same old. So may we learn to experience the blessing of adversity. And Isaiah speaks about God being our rear guard. So much has been taught in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, the armor of God. It speaks about nothing about the protection of our back. Did you notice that? What about our back? What about when the enemy comes to take us by surprise? When we least expect it? Well, Isaiah says, the Lord your God is your rear guard. So when the enemy comes, when you least expect it, when you're just doing life and he wants to sucker punch you like the coward that he is, he's got to face your daddy. He's got to face your God. And so times like that, that we get to see the blessing of adversity, which you will never see had the adversity not come. So please, let's not sit here and go into 2022 hoping that there's never adversity. Now, I'm not saying, oh, hell break loose in my life. Money stupid, obviously, man. Just be ready that when it comes, that we can face the blessing of adversity. So we're sitting and we're laughing. You mean, so ons is, a Christian is a snaakse ding. We can get up to like seriously crazy stuff. Psalm 66, verse 8 to 12. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. You see, when gold and silver is refined in the fire, it's refined in the fire so that the goldsmith and the silversmith can do what? That he can see his reflection in the purity of the metal. And isn't that God's purpose for us? That when we let him work in our lives, when we let him change us and mold us and refine us, when all the stuff that we hang on to just goes, that he can see his son Jesus in us. Isn't that what it's about? What's our life's purpose? People say, well, what's the Here's a doel for my life? Very simple. Romans 8 and verse 29. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. Whom he foreknew, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. That's our life's purpose. Proverbs 28, Proverbs 24 and verse 16. The godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. But 1 disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Hallelujah. That's who we are. The godly may trip 7 times. Sometimes we'll be doing everything we know to be right and still pick up serious adversity. May we learn whatever life's lessons we need to learn from that adversity. Romans 8, verse 17 to 18, last verse, second last verse, and I'm done. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Last scripture, and then I'm done. I was sharing this with Kirbus in the pre-service prayer meeting, and in the last couple of days, it's become a reality to me again. Why is it worthwhile going through adversity? I thought about 2 scenarios. Number one is where the worst things that can possibly happen to a child of God while they're alive happen to us while we're alive. And we go through all of that. And we go through this adversity. And we find the miraculous God of the Bible doing miracles in our lives, supernaturally providing for us, somehow getting us through where we don't know how, we don't know where, but he's gotten through this worst possible thing that can happen to us. So that's the one scenario. And the other scenario is where the son and the daughter of God dies. Your life comes to an end, and you end up with Jesus. Folks, in any one of those situations, what is bad? Think about that. What is bad? So the one, you don't die. But the worst possible things that can happen to you as a Christian happens to you. And through those storms, through those trials, through those tribulations, you get to experience and know God like you've never known him before. The world looks upon your life in amazement and thinks, look at that. There's a real God that's bringing real deliverance to that person. That's the one scenario. What's bad about that? Somebody please speak to me. What's bad about that? And then you say, oh, well, there are things worse than that, and that's death. As the believer, as the child of God who's born again, your name is written in God's book of life, and you die. And in a oogwink, in a moment, you're translated to the side of Jesus at the right hand of God. What's bad about that? So the point we're trying to make is, come what may, can it really be bad for a son or a daughter of God who knows that their very life is in God's hands? You see, as long as we believe, church, that we have more to lose by dying than we have to gain, we will always have a problem with death. But if we can really believe, like the Apostle Paul, where he says, for me, life is in Christ, and death is gain. What can the devil do to you? What can he possibly do to you? If life is Christ, and death is gain, what can he do to you? Because if you die, you're with Jesus. And if you go through hell on earth, you're with Jesus. So come 2022. May we experience and believe and receive and make for own the blessing of adversity. It's not all going to be all adversity all the time. But when it comes, may we realize that there is blessing in adversity. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you. That means look over you with favor and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. And if you're seated here this morning and you've gone through a challenge like, and you just don't want it again, that's fine. Do business with the Lord right there where you sit and say, God, I'm trusting you. My life is in your hands. And what I was sharing with Kubus is the following. What makes all of this worthwhile? It's this scripture, John 14 and verse 23. This makes it all worthwhile. Because if this is a reality in my life, and I believe it, the devil, his cronies, the demons, the godless, the corrupt, the criminals, the whoever, they can do whatever they want. If John 14 and verse 23 is a reality in my life, this makes it all worthwhile. And John 14 and verse 23 says that if you love me, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my Father. And we, everybody say we will come to you and make our home with you. What makes it worthwhile for me being here this morning, even attempting to make a difference in somebody's life for the Word of God, is that God and Jesus and the Spirit live inside of me. And if you let Him, the Scripture says, if you will love me, if you will love me, you'll obey my Father. And we will come and we will make our home inside of you. Folks, try and get your mind around that. I'm trying to. That the God of this universe, the God who spoke everything into existence, there is nobody more worthwhile speaking about. There is nobody more newsworthy. There is nobody more worthwhile putting on all the news networks on the planet. There is nothing that should be filling our minds more than this God who spoke everything into existence, promises that if you love Him and you obey Him, He will come and He'll live inside of you. Whether your mind knows it, whether your body feels it or not, if that truth becomes a reality in your life, folks, it is all worthwhile. That's good news to know that God will live inside of you. May that be reality in your life. May it start becoming more and more and more real. When you do your devotions with the Lord and you meditate on the Scripture and you're contemplating the difficulties and the challenges, realize it's not like God up there somewhere has to do some kind of a miracle to make some kind of a difference in your life down here. No, that if you let Him, He will live inside of you. What a powerful, powerful place to be. And when you wake up in the morning, no matter what happens, you start off your day making the time to listen and to hear what the voice of the Spirit is. Find something in the Word that the Word can bring light into your life, give you a direction and a pathway. Somehow, God can give some wisdom, some answer for some breakthrough you're trusting God for. And my brother, my sister, your life will not be the same. You can live a powerful life of victory so that at the end of 2022, you can say, this is the year that the Lord has made. Thank you so much for making the time to listen. Enjoy the rest of your day, your festive season. If you're still on leave, enjoy the rest of your leave. If you've got a few hours left, enjoy it. Time with friends, time with family. Remember that God loves you. And God willing, we'll see each other same time, same place next week. Have an awesome week further. Would you stand with us as we worship the Lord one more time together? Bless you.